Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Art Stapleton is with us, Giants beat reporter for The Record Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Art, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Art.
Hey guys. Yeah, you know, hey look, if Buffalo were New York City, maybe Antonio Brown would be a Bill right now.
Yeah, it might be, right? You know, he said he wants to win, but probably, like, I think he'd go to the Raiders, don't you think? Like, they're not going to win, but I feel like he'd go there.
Yeah, with the idea of being in Vegas?
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later? I would think so, yeah.
No doubt. Art, let's talk about this deal. First, from give us your opinion on it from a Browns perspective here. Olivier Vernon, obviously the price is really high. I don't know if he's worth it dollar for dollar, but as a number two pass rusher with Myles Garrett, how good do you think he will be if he stays healthy?
I think you nailed it. I think it's the look, and the Giants have seen it with Olivier Vernon from the moment he signed the contract, $85 million in 2016. You know, you signed that kind of contract in free agency, and everyone expects you to be Von Miller. And, you know, Olivier Vernon is not the kind of pass rusher who's going to put up 20 sacks in a season. But I do think he's a very good football player. I think playing opposite Myles Garrett, I think he's going to give a lot of opportunities to Garrett because OV is very good against the run. I think the Browns will be very happy with the way he plays and his effort, even though at times this year, middle of the season, it was questioned a little bit. But ultimately, I think the reputation of Olivier Vernon here changed, number one, with the contract because of those expectations, and number two, when he decided to kneel during the social injustice protests during the national anthem. And I think there were a lot of people who kind of turned against him here in New York, which, you know, we can have
That's
whatever
surprising.
Opinions we want about that. But I do think that carried – that hung over OV.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was hurt last year, hurt this year, and was not producing at the level that the $85 million contract required, at least public perception – I think the Giants fans, for the most part, were happy to see him go today.
That's interesting to me, Art, because I, you know, obviously the New York, New Jersey area is leans in the other direction generally politically. Not certainly not everybody, but I'm surprised that was such a big deal.
Well, I think if he had, if they were winning, you know, remember 2 years ago was the disaster of Ben McAdoo, and nothing went right for the
right.
Giants that season. So, you know, all the attention was on Olivier Vernon for what he was doing. And look, he's a guy who has a law enforcement background in his family. I mean, he talked about it. You know, you can hear why he was doing it. And again, he did not do it this past season. This was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that when he wasn't producing and when he was playing hurt with a high ankle sprain, I think the fans kind of turned on him.
Mm.
Some of it was because of that, but I do think some of it was also, well, you're not worth $85 million. And
right.
I think, you know, look, the Giants have high standards for their pass rushers here.
Sure.
They've been blessed with a lot of them. And when you get brought here for that kind of contract and you don't put up those kind of numbers, you know, let's be honest, Bull, how many people are actually watching the game saying, man, that defensive end is great against the run?
Yeah, nobody. At all, yeah.
Art, do you think this deal is about what it was supposed to be, or do you think it came as a result of maybe talking about another thing, possibly Beckham, or wasn't that ever part of any equation here?
You know, my guess is from what I can gather, you know, Dave Gettleman and John Dorsey have a great relationship. If you guys recall last year at the owners' meetings when the Giants kind of popped the lid off of the whole Beckham trade scenarios, I believe it was the day after, and coming out of whether it was a meeting or whatever, Gettleman said to Dorsey, hey, let's really mess with them. Let's walk together as we walk down the hallway past the
right.
media to let him think we're talking some big trade. And then lo and behold, at the combine, they were caught sitting together in the stands last week, and everyone started saying, oh, what's going on with Gettleman and Dorsey? You know, it would not surprise me if the Giants said to the Browns, hey, look, we'd like to take Zeidler off your hands. And Dorsey said, okay, give us Beckham.
Right.
And, you know, the reports, I guess, yesterday, the rumors were that the Giants laughed at that idea. I mean, the reality is Beckham is the kind of personality and he's the kind of player and talented player that is always going to be at the forefront of trade rumors and, you know, is he happy? Is he not happy? I don't think Beckham was a part of this deal. I think the Browns would have loved to go Zeidler for Beckham, but that wasn't happening. Yeah. And it just seems like too good of a matchup. Salary-wise, there was really only a million and a half difference in terms of cap space. It just seemed like the perfect fit for these two teams.
All right, you know, Vernon's obviously, he missed four games in 2017. He missed five games last year. Same injury 2 years in a row. How concerned should fans here be about that, you know, recurrence of that injury again?
It's an amazing thing because before, and we're talking the 2017 season, so two years ago, before he suffered a high ankle sprain, he had a ridiculous number of games in a row. He had a consecutive game streak. That the first game he missed, I believe, was the first game he missed of his entire career.
Yeah.
And then he missed those games, obviously, 2 years ago. And last year, there was all this talk. The Giants were moving to a 3-4. Betcher, defensive coordinator James Betcher, was coming over from Arizona. And there was a lot of talk that OV was going to play the Chandler Jones role in the 3-4. And they were really high on what Vernon could do. And he looked great in training camp, great in the preseason for the amount of times that he played. The Sunday before the season, he got tangled up in practice and suffered the high ankle sprain. He ended up missing the five games, and just his season was just not the same. I mean, I just wonder a little bit if he was a little star-crossed in New York. It just didn't work out. But, look, I look at sometimes you look at injuries and say, were you lucky or were you unlucky? I think OV was a little bit unlucky with those injuries, and I think the Browns are going to probably get the best out of Vernon, maybe even more so of what the Giants got out of him.
Art, obviously you got one of the premier runners in the league in Barkley, but on the other hand, you don't know how many years you get out of a running back. So how many years do you get out of Eli Manning here, and is there some kind of a movement to kind of push that along?
A movement. I think I look out the window every day and I see people with pitchforks coming down one side of the road wanting to get rid of Eli, but then they're meeting up at the crowd at the other end who have big, you know, Eli faces that they're like in college hoops. They're carrying them down the street. You know, we love Eli. Let him play till he's 50.
Yeah.
I think the Giants are kind of caught in a situation where, you know, they don't know what they want to be. They want to rebuild, but they want to keep going for it. You know, they want to keep Eli here. But everything needs to be perfect for Eli to succeed in this offense. You know, I think you also have to look at Pat Shurmur, who Cleveland knows well. I mean, things didn't go well for Pat back in 2011, 2012.
No.
I mean, you had the lockout, you had the new ownership, and you had all the mistakes that he made as a first-year head coach. But, you know, here, you know, he did some things well last year despite the 5-11 record. He kept his team together as opposed to, you know, the bar was set pretty low the previous year when Ben McAdoo was fired. So the question about Eli is, what are the Giants doing? Do they really believe that they can make a run this year for Eli Manning? Or do they just think that he's the placeholder that they need until they find their rookie quarterback, whether it's in this year's draft or next year's draft? You know, if you're making it, if Eli Manning didn't win two Super Bowls, Eli Manning would not be the quarterback of the Giants this year. I truly believe that. I just think that they would make the cut, get the $17 million that they would get in cap space, and go about fixing this defense and plugging some holes and really trying to make a run in this division. So the short answer is that I think he's done. I do think there are some parts of this that have to do with Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, and whether Eli doesn't want to be the first one out, you know, I think that's kind of playing into this, but we'll see. I mean, they bring in Zeidler, they fix the offensive line, you have Barkley in the backfield, you have an arsenal of weapons that are out on the field, and maybe Eli kind of captures lightning in a bottle. I mean, the problem is people have brought up the idea of, can't Eli win another Super Bowl the way Peyton did, have the defense carry him?
Yeah.
And you can look on paper, this Giants defense is not the Broncos from Super Bowl 50. It's not even close. So they got a lot of work to do on that offense, on that defensive side of the ball, before you could even think of Eli Manning just kind of carrying the water and letting the defense go to work.
Yeah, you mentioned Zeitler. I don't know if it's going to matter, because who knows if the Giants could be any good over the next few years, Art, as you talk about, but he's a hell of a player. I was disappointed at the Browns trade, and we trust John Dorsey. He's the first GM here we've ever trusted, and he's done such a good job in the first year that we're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that the kid they drafted in the second round will be able to step in for Zeitler. But Zeitler, and, you know, we've been watching him for years between Cincinnati and Cleveland. He's just a top-notch player, top-notch guy, hasn't missed a game in a number of years. It's a great addition. Again, who knows if it'll matter long run, because I don't know if they'll win, but fans, I mean, I don't know, like, fans, you never pay that close attention to offensive linemen on other teams, but people excited about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. I think the Giants, you know, for the most part, they've struggled at their offense, on their offensive line for so long. You know, and getting back to the Eli question, that's always the out, that the fan who believes there's more left in Eli's tank will say, well, you let Eli down, you never built the offensive line. Well, this is kind of a move to shut those people up, the idea of we're bringing in Kevin Zeitler and putting him in that situation. I mean, I think he hasn't missed a snap since 2015. You know, that's unheard of for the Giants. They've been using Band-Aids on their offensive line for years now. So, yeah, it was a celebrated move today. What's interesting is with the way the news broke today, it was first, Olivier Vernon's getting traded to the Browns. And immediately, the first thought that came to mind for me was, boy, if they did this for a swap for Zeitler, Dave Gettleman and the Giants really made out, because they were looking to trade Vernon. The fact that they were able to get an accomplished guard to plug in the spot that they wanted. This wasn't a left guard, and now they want to play in the right spot.
Right.
They have Will Hernandez, who was pretty good as a rookie, a second-round pick. They needed a right guard. And here comes John Dorsey to save the day and kind of give him Zeitler. I think it's a win-win for both teams, but I do think that there is kind of a celebration on Zeitler's 29th birthday. I think if he was here in New Jersey or in New York, I think if fans knew who he was, I think they'd walk up and shake his hand and celebrate him and say, we can't wait to root for you. Because the offensive line has really been to the detriment of the Giants in certain spots over the last 5-6 years.
You know, you had mentioned Shermer and some of the problems that he had here. And, of course, the Browns don't play, although for the younger fans, they may not know the Browns and Giants, one of the great rivalries back in the late 50s. But what's the thought from your neck of the woods about what the Browns did last year and what they may be doing in the near future?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of buzz, and I think part of that comes from the relationship between Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley. I mean, we saw it at the Super Bowl that entire week. There was a lot of talk of Saquon and Baker, and then they said that they were making a bet over who would win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. I know there are a lot of people in Cleveland very unhappy that Saquon got the award. Calling it, you know, some people said to me it was a New York bias. But Baker and Saquon together have developed this little bit of a friendly rivalry. You know, I think with Baker also, there are some Giants that post on social media. I mean, he played with Sterling Shepard, so Sterling Shepard knows Baker a lot. So I do think there's this respect between the Giants and Browns that maybe you wouldn't normally see. You know, and I think for the most part, you know, in this area, I think there's a lot of, you know, curiosity when you can get that franchise quarterback. Because, like, we go back to Eli Manning, there is that faction of Giants fans who believe Eli should have been gone a couple years ago. And seeing what Baker was able to do with the Browns, I think there's kind of an envy here with the Giants that, man, we need our Baker Mayfield. Right. You know, yes, we're happy with Saquon, but can we get that guy, whether that guy's a Dwayne Haskins or if that, you know, maybe you trade a pick to Arizona if the rumors are true about them trading Josh Rosen. But I think there's a lot of respect with what Cleveland has been able to do and probably a little bit of jealousy, because the Giants have kind of hit the skids. You know, with the Browns turning it around a little bit, winning 7 games last year, they get back into the playoffs and all eyes are going to be on the Giants now. I think they have the same amount of wins over the last 3 or 4 seasons, the Giants and the Browns. And, you know, you guys know what it's like when a franchise as proud as the Giants, yep, says you're in the same group as the Browns.
Yeah. It only took us 20 years to find that quarterback.
Well, it's not the 50s anymore.
Yeah.
The Giants-Browns is not the rivalry you want to be compared with. Yeah. But I do think there's a lot of respect for, especially for Baker. I think that's the kind of, that's the kind of player that players respect, that fans respect. You kind of get jealous of a little bit. And Jabril Peppers is a local kid out here. So I do think there are people, and David Njoku, I think there are people in New York, New Jersey, who are kind of following the Browns a little bit for those guys as well.
And by the way, Les, I don't know if you've been there. I don't know if you agree or disagree, Art, but my in-laws live not far from the Giants Stadium. And every time I drive by it, I'm saying, that is the ugliest stadium on the outside that I've ever seen in my life, right?
The MetLife air conditioner.
It's awful.
Like one of those air conditioners that you see in a factory somewhere that's just kind of sitting there. Yeah,
right.
I think there's probably a lot of buyer's remorse from the owners of the Giants and Jets and also from the state that they didn't come up with something better. Yeah. There's always the talk of why didn't they put a roof on it?
Yep.
And then you always hear, well, it's because they wanted to preserve the idea that you'd have to come to the East Coast and play tough football. And that idea of tough football kind of went out, nobody in the NFL plays tough football anymore, let's be quite honest.
Very few.
So I got the same story here. Yeah, you see where the Super Bowl has been played the last couple of years in Minnesota and Atlanta and those stadiums, and then you go to MetLife and you realize you paid the same amount of money for those stadiums that you did for MetLife. Now, granted, you're in the shadow of New York City, so I'm sure the rates are a tad higher, but for the most part, there's no comparison. So I definitely think that there are a lot of people who walk into MetLife Stadium saying, man, if only we could have a stadium like that city has or that city has.
Well, at least you got that giant sloped roof building that's finally becoming like a mall or something right now.
Xanadu.
Finally. All right, Art, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys, have a good weekend.
Thank you. Art Stapleton.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.